You're listening to SBS News.
Well, there are two big things that are happening. First, the incoming president of the United States, as you mentioned. The other part is that our prime minister of the last 9 years has just announced that he will be stepping down. He's been in office for 9 years, and unfortunately, at this point, had become quite unpopular, which is not unexpected, because our prime ministers tend to stay for about 8 or 10 years, or they have a shelf life of that time, and then it's time for them to move along. But it comes at a really interesting time, because on the one hand, we'll have a change of prime ministership, and the U.S. has a change in presidency. And things are not going so well at the start of the U.S. presidency. So there's a lot of concern. Indeed, one of the big things is Mr. Trump has said that he will impose a 25% tariff on all imports from Canada to the U.S. Our two economies are linked very, very closely. We are each other's largest trading partner. So it's not just Canada exporting to the U.S., but indeed a lot of Americans and American states, we are their number one export destination. So if they impose a 25% tariff on everything that we export to the U.S., and we impose a similar tariff on everything that's coming from the U.S., I think both economies are going to be hurting. But at this point, we haven't got to that point of the discussion just yet.
And you mentioned a change in leadership in Canada, of course. Have you got any predictions about who the new leader might be and what they might bring to the role?
Well, I think it's early to say. There's a number of – the way it'll roll out is over the next 6 to 8 weeks or so, the Liberal Party, which is our centrist party, more sort of centrist, left of center, more like your Labour Party, will be having a leadership contest. And out of that, within about 6 or 8 weeks, we'll have a new leader of the Liberal Party, and that person will become the prime minister. It's hard to say. At this point, excuse me, the contenders would be Mark Carney, who's a former governor of the Bank of Canada and also governor of the Bank of England. So a very smart guy when it comes to economics. He hasn't had any political experience. Our outgoing deputy prime minister, Chrystia Freeland, is another contender. Our industry minister, François-Philippe Champagne, a beautiful French name, which I think some English Canadians don't know how to pronounce yet, is another contender, a very boisterous, high-energy politician, very good with local people, is another contender. So it's hard to say just yet. One of the people who was a contender already has said he won't be. His name is Dominic LeBlanc, and he's the finance minister and probably will be the steady hand at the wheel for the next several weeks.
Now, Justin Trudeau was certainly a very captivated the world stage in many respects. In terms of domestic support, where did it go wrong for him?
Well, I think, in a sense, the parts that were attractive about him around the world were the parts that went wrong over time. The things which, unfortunately, I now refer to as the woke agenda. So his approach to Indigenous rights, the environment, human rights, LGBTQ rights, those are issues where he stood very firmly and pushed Canadians to move forward on them. Over time, I think his opposition from the conservative end of the spectrum pushed back on a lot of these issues. And the feeling was among some Canadians that he was too far out on some of those progressive issues and not on some of the other issues. But I think if you look at his overall record, you'll find that there's a lot of things that we in Canada did quite well on the economic front. We survived. His government managed the economy through COVID very well, but better than most countries. His government has been investing in the green economy and the science economy very strongly. One of the other major things that happened under his leadership was a national child care plan. We've been talking about a national child care plan for about 50 years. Parties have been promising. Finally, we've got that in place.
Now, of course, part of Canada is Quebec, which is famous for being French-speaking. But aside from French speakers in Quebec, there is an enormous amount of cultural and linguistic diversity within Canadian society. As that's continuing to change, how does that play to the future of the Canadian identity?
Well, it's a really interesting question, and it's interesting to be here talking at SBS about a multicultural society. What you do here is wonderful in terms of involving and catering to a multilingual society. I will just tell you that I think we are more multilingual than you are in Australia, but we don't have an SBS. We have a lot of private sector broadcasters who broadcast in a number of languages. So I'm really interested to see and hear and learn more about what SBS is doing. And I think you are a really good example to the world, and certainly an example that we should be looking at in Canada. So we are increasingly multicultural. I think to a large extent that has been seen as a strength, but there's always been some resistance to it. And we've got we're a bilingual country, so we've got two official languages, English and French. We've got a large, very much like you, we've got a large and growing Indigenous population who are coming into the mainstream of society in a number of ways. And we've got a number of different languages and people from all over the world, much like Australia. So there are a lot of similarities between our countries. I think we've seen acceptance of our diversity grow over the past sort of 5 or 7 decades. But my concern is there's a bit of pushback happening in the last 3 to 5 years. So I think this is really a time for us to stop and think about where we're going in terms of diversity. We can't change that. And we are diverse. We can't suddenly decide that a whole lot of people should go home, which is what some people think. So it's a time to stop and think about how we understand our national identity in this changing world, and understand that our two countries are really at the front edge of a multicultural, multiracial, multilingual society, each in our own way. We've got a lot of similarities, but some differences. Our other part that's different from you is that we're close to the United States, and how they deal with diversity and race is both instructive and troubling at times. Whatever happens there spills over, you know, whether it's positive or negative, spills over the border to Canada. So we watch those things quite closely. But I would say at this point in time, as we stand here at the start of 2025, I'm more concerned about diversity and a peaceful society than I have been in a long time.
You mentioned the United States, and just to wrap up, how would the Canadians that you interact with be reacting to the sorts of sentiment that's being expressed right now about, you know, the Prime Minister being a governor, one of the governors of the United States?
Yeah, I think about 2 weeks ago, people sort of ignore that as a joke and, you know, as a sense of humor by the incoming president, that's, well, you know, what Mr. Trump excels at doing is to be a disruptor in many ways. That is his brand. That's what his base expects of him. But I think what might have seemed like a joke a couple of weeks ago, people are beginning to be concerned about. I think there'll be a pushback. There is always a base in Canada, people who would like to join the United States. I think that base is somewhere around 5 to 13% of the population that I've seen in public opinion polls. Even 13 is quite high. But I think the rest of the country is going to push back. I think that if we manage it as a society, if we manage this well, I think it is a time to to push back. Interestingly, I do a fair amount of social media. I put out a post about 2 weeks ago saying rather than we becoming the 51st state of the United States, we should invite America to become the 11th province of Canada. And I outlined what that means and how we're different from the United States. And I have gotten more commentary on that than anything else I've posted. So I think people are, and I posted it as a sense of let's have a discussion. So how are we different? Well, we have two languages. We have an open immigration system. We respect Indigenous reconciliation. We have legalized marijuana. We have a CBC, a broadcaster, and people are suddenly thinking, yeah, well, some of these things we like and some of them we don't like. So I think in the best case scenario, we're entering very fast a really interesting debate about who we are as a country. But at the same time, it's under a bit of a cloud of discussion. I think in the end, it's part of Mr. Trump's general approach of negotiation, which is to throw your opponents off base, to threaten them, to disrupt everything and then see what happens at the end. But, you know, there are various things they can do, both economically, and I don't think you can underestimate it. What if he decided there should be not just Canadian troops in the north end of Canada, but American troops as well? And what if he sends over a bunch of, I don't know, helicopters or whatever to the north? We really have to anticipate those things as real possibilities. He's not going to move in and take over Canada, but I think we shouldn't underestimate what he could do.
Mm. You mentioned social media just now and how effective it was in terms of interacting with your constituents and an audience. Canada, Meta removed news from the Canadian market. What's been the experience there? And the impact, given that Australia is going into a federal election this year, and that Meta has also just recently announced the closure of their fact-checking services.
The whole world of social media is one of great concern to me. I'm also very concerned about the future of mainstream media in Canada, because all of mainstream media and the private sector has been facing a growing economic challenge. There have been a number of federal programs that have supported the private sector. The Conservative Party, which could win the next election in a few months, has talked about removing all those subsidies. They've also talked about ending the subsidy to the CBC, which is our equivalent of your ABC. So by the end of this year, we could have very, very little mainstream media left and everything happening on social media. That's very concerning because not only a fact checker is going to be discontinued, there is no, I mean, social media is important and great, but it is not comparable to the mainstream media because there's no basically fact checking. There's no editorial system. People post whatever you want. And that's great on the one hand. But you do need a mainstream media that is reliable, that is fact-checked, that people can trust. And I think we're heading into a system where we won't have that. So in terms of media, in terms of democracy, I am not positive about the next year and the next few years at all. I think we're entering into a very unstable situation. As a senator, I'm starting to have those discussions. I have initiated debates in the Senate about the future of the CBC, which has not taken place in our parliament in decades. People just assumed it was there. So I've initiated some of these. I think that a lot of other people are beginning to step forward. And we really need to have some very serious discussions about the future of media in a hurry. Because I think there's some dark things that could be happening across all of media, private sector, public sector, online, over the next few literally days and months and certainly years.
Great. Well, look, is there anything more, Senator, that you might want to say while you've got the microphone?
I hate to be so negative on that. Excuse me. I so love being in Australia and love watching everything here and observing observing your broadcaster, SBS, ABC, and others. So I, having said all the negative stuff, I feel wonderful to be here and really delighted to be in a country that is so similar to ours, but different. Not just the temperature-wise. You know, people ask how things in Canada. I say we've got the same temperature as you, except that we put a minus between the numbers. You put a plus between the temperatures. But otherwise, wonderful to be here. And I hope that our countries will keep in touch because there are a lot of things we share. A lot of the concerns that we have are similar. A lot of the positives we have are similar.